powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Curtis. Happy Friday, y'all. We have a really fun Friday show planned for you guys. Really awesome guest, Robert Turbin, going to join us at noon. Mike Burrell going to preview UW-Michigan State coming up at 12:30. Shannon Dreyer, Mariners insider, joins at 1. And before we get to any of that, we're going Mariners at 10:30, trying to figure out whether they can clinch a playoff spot at home. Going to be very fun. I really, really hope that happens. Brandon Gustafson of SeattleSports.com is going to give us the rundown on all the scenarios and what needs to happen and the magic number. Before we get to any of that, two things. Number one, Bump is going to be leaving us today. Bump is leaving early board a flight.
Oh, okay.
No, he's coming back. Bump is, I know. Bump
he's
is
fired.
I know. We have abandonment issues, Curtis, but Bump is coming back. But you're getting on a plane later today. This is for Pac-12 Network, right?
Yeah, I am covering the UCLA versus South Alabama game.
Nice. Make sure to take subtle shots at UCLA the whole time.
Oh, always.
Like, make jokes about leaving people behind.
Why are they having
behind.
You cover a Big Ten game? That makes sense.
That's just so weird. I don't understand.
They're prepping me for it.
Yeah.
Ready for the move.
There you go. Yeah. Well, we were talking earlier about airport rituals, and I wanted to continue our conversation very quickly. It's a casual Friday. We can be fun. We can be chill today, right?
Let's do that.
It's getting ready for week two. There's still so much to learn about this team. Let's have a little fun today, and I'm going to start by asking you a very normal question. If anyone has suggestions for Bump for a good airport ritual, because you're not the biggest fan of flying.
No, which is
weird because you fly so much.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan. It's not like I'm terrified, but if I could just like blink my eyes hard and be where I want to be, I'd prefer that.
I mean, ideally. So if you guys have ideas for Bump, 866-979-3776.
I'll tell you what I do.
Yeah?
I don't wait in lines, pre-check here,
Whoa,
right to the front, get through security.
And I thought Stacy was the bougie one.
Yeah,
until now.
She's rubbing off on me a little bit.
That's what it is.
And then I go to the first bar I see. I have me a double shot of some whiskey.
Of course.
Talk to a random person about where they're going in their life. And then put on the noise-canceling headphones, and then I'm off.
Real question. You are very friendly. You're very, very chill. For many of you know Bump. You've seen him all over the place. But you're very, very chill, but you're also very open and friendly.
Yeah.
You'll talk to anyone.
Yeah, for sure.
Just not like in a way where it's like in your face, but hey, man, what's up? Where are you going? Have you ever had anyone, especially in Seattle, be very like uncomfortable? They're like, oh, why are you talking to me? Because, sometimes people get like, clammed up at the airport.
No, I think I know who to talk to. You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of just sit there and you kind of feel the vibe and it's like, oh, okay, this seems like a friendly person. But not yet. I haven't. Have you spoken to someone? What's your ritual at the airport?
I don't talk to anyone at the airport. Well, first of all, I have to make sure I have a good airport outfit. That's the number one thing. So the airport outfit has to be comfortable but look chic. Someone might think I'm a celebrity. Like, I want to be able to look like it's like, I don't know, is that like some celebrity person? Who is it? I don't know. Who could she be? but no, I'm kidding. Curtis
any
is heavy,
celebrity?
Heavy rolling his eyes. Yeah, is that Danny DeVito?
Just shades on, walking through the terminal.
Bette Midler?
We are the same size, me and Danny. I'll tell you what I do. The exact same ritual every single time. I go buy a People magazine. I buy a bagel with a lot of cream cheese and I buy a coffee. And I do that every single time before every single flight, no matter
where
I'm
going. Do you
actually
read the magazine or is it just a comfort thing?
No, I read it, but it is a comfort thing. It's just, I've done the same thing every single time before I can remember.
Curtis, have you traveled with a kid yet?
Oh yeah, I've been on two flights with Willa. Once when she was 3 months old, so she just slept like the whole time. Uh-huh. And then another one, she was 6 months old. And she was a little more active. Now, the last flight she was on, my wife and her just went solo to go visit my wife's sister and also her mom in Utah. And she was around a year old at that time, so she was very active, wanting to walk around all the time. So I've not flown with Willa yet when she is at her most active, which is like right now. She's got to be moving at all times.
Oh, yeah.
So that's... We may have a flight coming down the pike here soon, so
prepare yourself.
That'll be an interesting venture for sure.
Just walk down the aisle when you're going
to
get seated.
Everybody.
and say hi and say sorry. Hey, I'm sorry in advance. Yep. I'm sorry
in advance.
The entire Macajex text line saying they very much support your idea. It's a really good one. They're like, A, take advantage of the lounge if your airline has a lounge.
For sure.
And then the second bit of advice is no coffee before you get on the plane. I'm ignoring that one. And the third one is just people saying honorary go Cougs for the double shot.
Yeah.
Do you say go Cougs?
Do I say go Cougs when I do anything
special?
Go Cougs.
The answer is yes. All right. Yeah. Let me get to what we're talking about here. So we've been reflecting on week one for several days. We're looking ahead to week two. But because it was just week one and it's only week two, there's still so much we don't know about these teams. So something very natural that you do in the NFL, we've been doing it all week, right, is overreact.
Yep.
Of course you overreact to every single thing. And it makes sense. But here is the theme right now of this segment. Take week one with a grain of salt. It's good and bad news for the Seahawks. So let's talk about maybe some immediate overreactions that are easy to have with the Seahawks.
Overreactions
just
would
to week one.
Geno has figured it out, and he's going to be in the Pro Bowl. He's the second most accurate quarterback in the league right now. Josh Allen had a better completion rate. But Geno has figured it out, and he's going to win you a bunch of games playing the same way he played on Monday. I think that's an overreaction. I think that eventually Geno's going to have a bad game.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The defense is going to have to help him out. DK and Lockett are going to have to make some plays for him. It's nice that he started off the way that he did, but to ask anybody to perform like that consistently is dang near impossible.
I think that's a really good one. Also, what Geno did is surpass a lot of people's expectations. He played well.
Yeah.
But also, you were going against Russell Wilson, and it was this idea of, wow, did the Seahawks downgrade? Look at Russell Wilson. He's going to tear you guys apart, and Geno is just going to be such a boring pass. And then they go out, and Geno's incredibly efficient, and Russ and Denver can move the ball between the 20s and can't get anything done in the red zone. And so the Seahawks end up looking and feeling in the moment like the better offense.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look on paper, there are still some stats where you're like, okay, hit pause.
Yep.
Hit pause. If you were to show me just the fourth quarter, we mentioned this yesterday with Chris Francis. If you were to show me just the fourth quarter stat sheet, I would be like, Denver won. I have no doubt in my mind that Denver won. Because the Seahawks got not only really safe in the second half and most especially late, they just weren't effective.
No, it seemed like they tensed up a little bit. You know, Geno tensed up a little bit. I wonder if Shane Waldron was just playing to win the game. There was one drive where, I mean, they didn't run the football at all. You know, they went three passes in a row. And that goes against what we thought this team was going to be, right?
Yeah.
We thought they'd be extremely run heavy. I honestly think that the way Geno came out throwing the rock, Shane was like, all right, let's just ride this wave.
Yes.
I mean, this guy is on point. Yeah. So it changes your game plan a bit, right? You always go in with certain expectations and with the game plan, but during the game, things switch up a little bit. So, yeah, but they need to run that rock, especially this weekend. It's going to be raining, I think I'm hearing. It's going to be tough up in the
Bay. Yeah, not as bad for San Francisco as they had it in Chicago, but it's supposed to be rainy from kickoff to post-kickoff in like 10 to 20 mile per hour winds.
Yeah.
So not horrendous. Not ideal. So expect a run-heavy game, I would think, for both of these two teams. Speaking of, if there was such a thing as an overreaction, how about an underreaction? I have some questions about the run defense for Seattle. The thing is, do I think the run defense is bad? I don't know. They had very specific looks and a very specific plan for Russell Wilson. You want to dive into that a little more?
Yeah, so with Russell Wilson, we know that he likes to air it out. At least going into this game, we thought, okay, he wants to throw the football. He is the offensive coordinator along with Nathaniel Hackett. So what do? You put two high safeties, that same defense that stopped Russ from cooking when the New York Giants came into town when he was on their run. This week, it's a different story. You don't have Russell Wilson back there. You have Trey Lance, a young quarterback who's trying to figure it out. Not very accurate. You saw that in the first half when he was able to throw the football a bit more against the Chicago Bears. And just the way that Shane Waldron calls plays, it forces you to load up the box. So four down territory, I'm going to touch on that a little bit more. But Clint Hurt is going to have to make some adjustments defensively, and I will let you know exactly what I think he's going to do.
From the 509, Shane Waldron was playing not to lose the game, but hey, it worked. And I agree, it's okay to play that way, but what I worry about, what they'll be tested with in San Francisco is an offense that is far more willing, you just mentioned this, to run the ball.
Yeah.
And a head coach who can scheme up great runs. You talked about like the five main runs, and they utilize all of them and find creative ways to use all of them. So is it fair to say the Seahawks run defense is going to be bad? No. Did we see them look great in week one? No. Hence, take it with a grain of salt for right now.
Yeah. The great thing about this matchup is that early in the season, you are going up against two different type of offenses.
Yes.
You have a pass-heavy offense. Second week, you have a run-heavy offense. So you're going to figure out who can do what really quickly with this football team. And then it's going to test Clint Hurt and how he's able to adjust. This is his first time being a defensive coordinator. It's all about adjustment. So I'm very excited just to see what he does. I have some ideas.
Hottest of hot takes from the 253, again, on the Mac and Jack's text line. Join this conversation anytime during the show, 866-979-3776. 253 says, Seahawks being good is an overreaction. They were two goal line fumbles and a touchdown drop by a tight end from losing by 20.
Don't good teams force turnovers in clutch situations?
Bam.
I mean, now I'm not going out there and saying that these guys are going to win the division.
No.
But they show that's a characteristic of a good football team. When you need a play, when a team is driving, you make a play. It's not by accident that Echenna knocked the ball out. It's not by accident that Josh Jones was there to clean him up, even if the ball was not fumbled on that play. I believe it was the first fumble. No, it was Josh Jones who was there to clean it up. Like, he would have been tackled anyway. So, no, it's a characteristic of a good team, but what do good teams do? They do it consistently week by week. That's why we're overreacting. It's week one. Let's see what week two
looks
like.
That's exactly right. And not only that, I think my only reaction that feels fair is the Seahawks could be better than I think, and most certainly will have some pleasantly surprising moments.
Yeah.
Like, that's the reaction that feels fair, because I know that there will be questions. I know there will be struggles. I know there will be. That's inevitable with a young team. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you aren't the youngest team in the league, but you're like middle of the road, but you have some young starters out there. But, like, I think if there is one thing that does feel fair, it's that they can potentially upset. They can spoil. They can surprise. They can look good. And so can they do it consistently is what we can't say
Man,
yet.
You know who they are. They are the 2007 Cougs. I know our team, we were like a 500 team. But we were a team to where, like, you had to respect us. Mm-hmm. You couldn't just walk in there and say, all right, they're the Cougs. We're just going to smack them. Nah, unless you were USC, they smacked everybody. But they're a team that you can't sleep on. They're good enough to beat you, but at this point, bad enough to let a game slip away.
When you said that, I thought of the 2007 Huskies, which made me think of the 2008 Huskies, and I'd like now to move on from this conversation. Let's get to Headline Rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it!
Headline Rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
Headline number one, the Chiefs beat the Chargers on Thursday Night Football, thanks in large part to a fourth quarter pick six from former Coug Jalen Watson. Justin Herbert may miss some time with a rib injury. Ugh. What's the real headline?
If you ever think the Seahawks find crushing ways to lose, just be glad you're not a Chargers fan.
It's for real.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like, imagine your parents, like you're like a Seahawks family, and they're like, there are Chargers fans in the world, okay? Be grateful.
Yeah, that's tough, man. If you're a Chargers fan, I feel for you right now, and especially because, you know, your quarterback got banged up. My big observation from last night, or what I wanted to see, was how Justin Herbert handled the spotlight, and he did all right. 26 of 34, 279, three touchdowns. I'm sorry, I'm reading the wrong stats. That's from the week before against the Raiders. But there was enough for him to be in the game, keep these guys in the game. But there were some drop picks. I mean, there were a lot of things going on. Some questionable calls, too. There was a pass interference called on the Chargers that I thought was bogus. But that is football. I think these referees are gearing up, too. Justin Herbert was 33 of 48, three touchdowns, one interception, 334 yards.
What did you guys make of the near interception that ended up being called back? I thought it was so close that it shouldn't have been overturned.
That's the gift and the curse of replay.
You don't have to survive the ground in the same way that you used to.
Nah, it's who knows what a catch is, who knows what interception is. I feel like the man had possession of the ball. But, I mean, according to the rule, that's the right call. But it's the human factor that gets lost when you replay things and you can slow it down. And, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Headline Rewrites.
Headline number two, the Mariners start their final road trip of the regular season. It's cool to have that little caveat, you know, of the regular season.
Ooh,
Who knows what happens beyond? With a four-game series starting tonight against the hated L.A. Angels.
Hated Angels.
What's the real headline?
No, not a joke here at all. Just a question, a thought. This is the theme for me. Can they keep looking like a playoff team against a struggling club?
Do what you are supposed to do.
That's the theme.
Come on, Mariners.
That's the headline.
Last time we saw these guys, we swept them, right? I believe so. Last time we saw the Angels, we swept them.
That was the game where everybody's cable went out at one point. point.
Yeah.
Jose Suarez.
It was glitching. You got Robbie Ray on the mound tonight. You got Kirby against Ohtani. That's going to be a great matchup. Gonzalez, can he repeat the performance he just had? Dude was on point. Then you ended with Gilbert. I mean, you can go, you can start anywhere in this pitching rotation and you feel fine. But I like that we end with Gilbert, and I love that Gonzalez is going to get another shot against a team that he should perform well against. Like, Gonzalez needs series like this against teams like this going into the playoffs.
You know what I also wonder? Like, I keep waiting for, like, Jesse Winker to have two great games in a row or something like that. And I just feel like against a struggling pitching staff, minus, obviously, Ohtani.
His numbers against the Angels this year have been actually really good.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because he was actually looking pretty good before the fight happened, and you were thinking about the suspension. You were like, man, like, not only was this club kind of starting to heat up, but Jesse Winker was playing well. It's not a hot take. It's not a new opinion. I just consistently wanted to see more from him, given his potential, given who he was with Cincinnati. And I just feel like this is an opportunity, you know?
It's a chance, baby. I mean, how rewarding is this right now? Like, now, yesterday we were talking about the dramatics, or the day before we were talking about how we're missing the dramatic of the end of the season, right? We thought it was going to be close, maybe going to the last five games. And they still got to take care of business and get things done. But it's a great feeling looking at your pitching rotation, looking at the schedule, yeah, and saying, all right, we can do this. Like, this is for real.
You know what my favorite feeling is right now is, again, after 21-ish years, you're so hurt that you're like, I don't even want to think that it's done. 99.8% odds, according to Fangraphs, but you don't want to feel. But there's something also really exciting about, it's kind of like waiting to celebrate. You know what I mean? Like, if you've won a game, but it's still counting down to the final seconds, and you're like, I can't do it yet, I can't do it yet, I can't do it yet, but you know it's there, and you see it, and there's a little more fear, a little more apprehension for Mariners fans, knowing that things could backfire, but you are far more likely than not to make the postseason, that's just a fact now.
Another great thing is they have the pitching staff to kind of line up their best three starters for the start of the postseason, because you've got Chris Flexen, who is a starting pitcher. He's in the bullpen right now. But if you wanted to make it so that Luis Castillo is your game one starter in the postseason, and give him maybe some extra days off heading into that start, you can throw Chris Flexen in that final week of the season to help order up your rotation to make it very beneficial in your favor.
The one thing I don't want is, like, I would love for the Mariners to make it to the ALDS. I would freak out. But what I don't want is for us to come in the next season and say, okay, what next? How can you move further? How do you get to a World Series? And for people after that long drought to be like, just be grateful that you were there. Just be grateful with what they're... If I hear be grateful one time, I'm going to lose my mind.
That's what you're supposed to do.
You should want to be a World Series team.
You build expectations now.
Yeah,
expectations are good.
They're a good thing.
Yeah.
They're a good thing.
That means you have a team that's capable of reaching that. You know what I mean? That's a good thing.
Headline rewrite.
I'm going to be in a glass case of emotion. Regardless.
I can't. Yeah. I've thought
when
about it.
Clinch, yeah.
Yes, and Brandon will join us in about 10 minutes, and he's got some math to figure out that they'll most likely clinch at home during a specific series, and
nothing better than
I'm sure it's going to sell out very quickly for that reason, but I can't wait for the rest of baseball. It's so easy to root for the Mariners and root for their fans. And I feel like I would hope that the world of baseball recognizes how special that moment is, even if you're not a Mariners fan, even if you don't care, even if you're playing the Mariners, even if you hate the Mariners, to be able to be like, we all love baseball. We all love sports. There's going to be thousands and thousands of people in the stands crying,
man.
You know?
They need to pan on the crowd and let us soak this in.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's going to be beautiful.
I hope there's like a 10-minute long standing ovation. Like, I just, it's 20 years of emotion.
Seeing the dog pile out on the mound.
Oh, my God. Wait, don't say it yet. We're all knocking on wood. Knock on wood. Knock on wood. Knock on wood. Okay, next headline. Let's switch it up here.
Headline number three, the Huskies finally get a challenge this Saturday against number 11 Michigan State home, though. But what is the real headline?
We are ready to enter the AP Top 25.
Nah, just win. No Top 25.
Never know.
Nah.
It could happen. The undefeated Huskies.
Just win.
Yeah.
And I'm rooting for you. I'll be rooting for you guys.
Thank you, Bob.
I'm not going to stand up. I'm not going to clap. I'm not going to cheer. but I'll be internally. Internally, you're better than me. Internally, I will give the slow
just
hand clap.
Reluctant kind of head nod. Yeah. Of like in a movie when people are like, all right, yeah. I respect you. The Top Gun kind of like, hey, man.
Did you see when Soto, who's on the mound? I think it's Gilbert on the mound. Whenever they played the Padres, Soto got hit with a fastball. Oh. And he looked at the pitcher and nodded his head like, okay, I'll see you.
Was that? That wasn't Brash, was it?
It might have been Brash. And he, you know, he respect, like, all right.
Bro, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I do.
I love seeing that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not correctly remembering who it was. I don't know why I thought Brash. I just feel it like he was
Brash.
A reliever.
I think it was because Brash pitched in game one of the series.
And he's got some nasty pitches.
Yeah. Munoz pitched in game two, I think.
Oh.
He's got even nastier.
Munoz has gotten a few of those too, just kind of like a, well, man, how was I supposed to hit that? I love seeing it.
The movement with that speed, it's not even fair. He makes dudes look silly on a regular.
That's the thing. There's a thing about athletes recognizing something and being like, that was great.
Yeah, respect.
Like, that was amazing. All right, it's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. We have had Brandon Gustafson, a reporter for SeattleSports.com, locked away in the sports pit, working out the math to figure out when and where the Mariners can potentially clinch a playoff spot. He's got a couple different suggestions, a couple different possible outcomes here. He's going to help us with playoff math. That's next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, you guys, Brandon Gustafson of SeattleSports.com joining us in studio, one of our absolute favorites. We have been keeping you locked up in the sports pit. We locked the door, we left for the show, and we said, do not leave until you have some playoff scenarios for us. So let's, can you explain some playoff math for us with the Mariners? Let's start with what the magic number is, maybe, and what that means.
It's either 15 or 16.
Okay.
And basically what that means is the Mariners need some combination of 16 wins on their own end and losses by Baltimore's end. So like 10 Mariners wins, 6 Baltimore losses, things like that. So they're looking pretty. I mean, the schedule really works out for them. They have the worst remaining schedule in baseball in terms of opponent winning percentage. It's under 400, the teams that they're facing, whereas Toronto and Baltimore and Tampa Bay, all the teams that are right with them, right below them in the playoff race, they all play each other. And in some cases, I know Tampa plays Houston 6 times. Baltimore plays Houston 4 more times. So things really worked out. Obviously, they got the 10 games on the road that starts tonight in L.A. But after that, 10 games at home. And like I said, they're all against sub-500 teams. So it really works out for the Mariners.
What else you got?
I see a lot of notes on that pad. Brandon comes in here with a pen. Hold it up to the camera. Give me your notepad.
Here it is. I mean,
SeattleSports.com/video. Brandon comes in here every time with this little notepad.
Yeah.
And being a little baseball nerd that you are, but we love you. We love you for that.
All right, so
you're going to give me a swirly next? Like, is Bump going to throw me into a locker?
We're really
like, what's
playing
going
into
on?
The stereotypes here, yeah. Like high school bullies.
I'm just looking at the notepad. I'm like, that ain't it. You know?
No, I know.
Tell me something else about these Mariners. What's going to happen? What needs to happen? Who needs to do it? Just give me something else, BG.
Okay, well, here's a fun one for you.
Okay.
All right. Cal Raleigh has been incredible, and I think that everybody who's been watching the Mariners over these last few months thinks of Cal Raleigh, and they think, oh, this is the guy who's hitting all these home runs, right? Mm-hmm. He's the best slugging catcher in baseball, and you got to remember, all but one of his home runs have come since May 15th. He's been on an absolute tear. But what I realized yesterday is Cal Raleigh's been the second best defensive catcher in baseball.
Really?
Behind JT Realmuto, who's with the Phillies, who's arguably the best overall catcher in baseball. He can hit, he can run, he can field, he can do everything. Cal Raleigh is the second best D-war in baseball for the entirety of the season. I think Adley Rutschman over with Baltimore, who we've talked a lot about, he's a phenomenal catcher as well. He just doesn't have, you know, as much time as Cal Raleigh does. But as much credit as Cal Raleigh gets for the work at the plate, just the job he's doing behind the plate, he's throwing runners out, he's keeping the ball in front, he's obviously managing one of the best pitching staffs in baseball who have some of the best arms in baseball coming out of the bullpen. They've gotten just nasty starter arms, Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, Robbie Ray. I think Cal Raleigh deserves just an absolute ton of credit for where this team is and just how they've gotten to this point.
You know what I've noticed too? I saw more of the Padres. Like, he's showing more of his personality.
Yeah,
I see him talking to the umps, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's talking to batters and I like to see that because he's a leader out there. I look at the catcher, man. He's in control of the whole situation. And I feel like that can do nothing but help elevate his game even more,
for
right?
For sure. Yeah, I mean, as the catcher, you're the captain of the defense. I mean, if you guys have a bunt coverage that you're doing, if you have a first and third play, if you need to get guys in certain spots, I mean, you're the guy. You're running the show back there on top of everything that you're doing with your pitching staff. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, you're getting 3, 4, 5 at-bats a game. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, and that's part of the reason why a lot of times you see catchers might not have the same offensive production as some of these other positions. They've just got a lot more work to do. Yeah. I mean, and that's a big part of it. But one of the things that I noticed in just recent months, I mean, Cal Raleigh's just taken over. Like, he has no problem going out and getting on a guy on the mound. There was an instance a few weeks ago where Matt Brash was out on the mound. It was a close game, and I think he comes out there, he's shaking him off, and he throws a first-pitch breaking ball. It's like a foot off the plate. Cal Raleigh calls time, and he walks out, and he's like, all right, dude, you're not talking, I'm talking, listen to me. And you just saw him for 30 straight seconds just telling Matt Brash everything that was about to happen and why it was about to happen. And Cal Raleigh's a coach's kid. His dad is a longtime D1 baseball coach. I think you can just kind of tell in his personality, the way that he talks, the way he handles his pitching staff. And that's super cool to see. I mean, and again, this is his first full season. We saw him a little bit last year, so he's not technically a rookie, but yeah, I mean, this is the guy's first full year, and he's kind of running the show. It's been really cool to see.
I need to remind myself of that, too, because I regularly forget that. You have been looking at the schedule. You think it's more likely than not that the Mariners clinch during which series? I'm not making you stake your name to it. There's so much left to play. But we'll say, like, if it's a pie, this isn't even, like, 70% chance.
Right.
It's just that the way that the other teams' kind of odds and schedules and the Mariners' odds and schedules work out mean that, like, if people are looking to be like, okay, which series or two series should I really be thinking, like, should I take some time off?
Yeah, I think they clinch before the final four games against Detroit. I think it's either 3 versus Texas or 3 versus Oakland. I think they clinch at home. So probably the tail end of this month. And obviously that's super exciting. Obviously Mariners fans here in the greater Pacific Northwest and across the country have been waiting for this for a really long time. And I think that ultimately just clinching a playoff spot's kind of a foregone conclusion. Obviously, just like the way the schedule works out, the Fangraphs odds, everything that you look at, it's like 99.8% or something like that. It's just ridiculous to think about. And then it's just a matter of, well, can they clinch that top wild card spot? Because as cool as it is to see the Mariners in the playoffs, be a lot cooler if they're hosting two to three games against either Toronto or Tampa Bay.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because Bump Curtis and I all had this vacations scheduled the day following series.
Crazy.
It's so weird that you say that.
It's funny how that works out.
Yeah, yeah. Who would have thought?
I'm looking at the schedule, and the texter actually pointed this out. They have a doubleheader October 4th against Detroit, a.k.a. the Lions.
Just so Brandon, this is a new thing we established yesterday. Bump calls every single team from Detroit the Lions intentionally, so it doesn't matter.
Even the Red Wings,
everyone's the Lions. Yes, everyone's the Lions.
Yeah,
I like it. Just how it works, BG.
Yeah.
What do you think happens there? So say they do clinch at the end of this month. And you play that doubleheader. You expect to see a lot of guys resting then, I would assume?
It depends, because, as good as it would be just for this team to get into the playoffs, it all depends on seeding. Yeah. And like I mentioned, the three teams below them, all out of the AL East, they all beat up on each other a little bit. They all play each other a few times. Two of the three teams play Houston, who's one of the better teams in baseball, and they're going to be trying to clinch home field advantage for the playoffs, that number one spot in the American League. So typically, after a team clinches, we saw with the Dodgers the other day, they call it, you know, kind of like the hangover day, where you see just kind of the skeleton crew go out and you see a lot of reserve guys. So you'd see like Jake Lamb and Taylor Trammell and Kurt Casale probably out there starting for that game immediately after they clinch.
Yeah.
As far as that doubleheader goes, it really just depends on how the playoff scenarios have shaken out. There's a chance that they could have clinched that top spot at that point, and then maybe they can kind of take their foot off the brake a little bit. But at the same time, you also want to keep guys kind of going on regular schedules, especially from a pitching perspective, and get everybody in there at full strength and ready to go.
All right, so we kind of have an idea and an ongoing debate of the rotation in a wild card series.
Right.
And really the final one is it Kirby? Is it Gilbert?
Yeah.
We can table that one for right now, because it's a really good conversation to have.
They're both really good. It's a good problem to have.
Yes. Has anyone in the lineup played himself off of a potential, like, best case playoff roster, and has anyone played himself on? Excuse me, lineup, not roster.
Yeah, it's something. Curtis, shout out to Extra Innings last night. We talked about
Download the podcast.
That's right. Left field is very interesting, because obviously Jesse Winker has not lived up to the billing that he came in with. He was an all-star last year. He's one of the best hitters in baseball when he was healthy. he has not been that way at all this year. I have a few numbers written down. Like, he's hitting, he hit 314. He hit 314 off the fastball last year. He's hitting 225 this year. I mean, that's one of the first things that you can point to for why he's a 220, 230 hitter. And obviously, as we've seen in the metrics back it up, he's arguably the worst defensive outfielder in baseball. You're not getting a lot from Jesse Winker at the plate or in the field. If he's not walking, there's not a whole lot that he's doing for you right now. And then you have somebody like Sam Haggerty, who's kind of a jumpstart type guy. He can steal bases. He can bunt for a base hit. He plays tremendous corner outfield defense. He's done a lot of really great things for this team. Maybe it's something where Haggerty gets more of those opportunities, or at the very least, maybe it's a platoon situation because Haggerty is a better hitter from the right side than the left side. So getting Winker out there against right-handed pitching, Haggerty out there against left-handed pitching could be something like that. That would be probably the main spot. I think the rest of the lineup, assuming Mitch Haniger is healthy, is kind of set in stone.
Brandon Gustafson is one of the best people covering this team. He's absolutely phenomenal. We have some amazing talent covering this Mariners team between you and Shannon and Brent, the editor for Seattle Sports, who obviously does a ton of stuff. It's so fun. You're all so smart. And thankfully, Brandon is able to join us. You're on with Wyman. Wyman loves calling you Son of Augustafson, and he adds no context. So yeah, people are always like, who's Son of Augustafson? It's Brandon.
That's who he is.
It's Brandon. Let's get you on again as we inch closer. Obviously, you don't have to go far. You have to walk down the hallway.
Yeah, right.
But tell people where you guys should be following Brandon. A, follow Brandon right now if you're not already. B, where can people find you? And do you guys have, it could be you, Shannon, Brent, anything fun on the site planned for today, this weekend?
Yeah, so Twitter at BB Gustafson. That's where you can find me on Twitter. And then, yeah, just we're getting a ton of Mariner stuff over these next few days. John Morosi, who is one of the best baseball minds that you're going to see and just one of the nicest guys you're also going to hear as well. He had a really awesome conversation with Dave and Bob yesterday about just how great of a job the Mariners have done handling their pitching staff in terms of the health. Obviously, they've rolled out basically the same rotation all year long, just kind of swapped a few guys here and there. So that's something to look for today. And I wrote up something on Logan Gilbert the other day, just the kind of job he's done as kind of August and September have kind of rolled around. And so keep an eye on that, seattlesports.com.
Seattlesports.com. Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, you guys, coming up, it's Friday, and you know what that means. Bump, what's it mean?
Bold Take Friday.
Is that it?
Yeah, did I do it?
That's it.
Good?
Bold Take Friday. Get your boldest takes in for week 2 Seahawks 49ers. Send them in right now. 866-979-3776. Mac and Jack's text line. Bold Takes coming your way next.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
All right, it's Bold Take Friday. Send in your boldest takes of the game. And I can't tell if the plan is to out-bold people, which is not done in sports radio. That's a very important thing to note, is we're the only show doing this. And
that's,
I think that's really innovative
only
and really
here.
Creative. You will only hear bold takes and hot takes.
We invented the bold take.
We did. And that's why this entire segment's trademarked. So you will be hearing from our lawyers. All right. I have my bold take. You have your bold take ready. And I've got a ton of bold takes coming in on the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. You can get bragging rights on Monday. But not only that, it helps us kind of find out some of the more extreme possibilities of this game that might actually be feasible.
Yeah.
And then maybe which ones aren't, but still really fun. So why don't you tell me yours? I'll read through texters, and then I'll give you mine.
All right, I'll tell you mine, but first I just want to say Stacey has never seen a Rocky movie. Just
why
gonna start
did you put
from
me on blast like
all
that?
Right,
this is an innocent conversation. All first
right.
of all, no, listen. During
never
the break,
seen a Rocky
during
movie?
The break, you guys, Curtis talked about how some person...
They're casting for Creed 3 right now.
Okay.
And Canelo Alvarez was the latest guy added to the cast.
Very cool.
To the cast.
And I said, I've never seen Creed, and you guys both looked at me. And I said, well, because I'd never seen Rocky, so I didn't want to watch all the Rocky movies just to be able to watch Creed. Well, now I know that.
All right. On to my bold take.
Anyway, oh, by the way, if your take is bold enough, Curtis will give you one of these. And if
the
he is
you
not,
complain about the horn on the text
more he's going to play it. And if he is not satisfied, then you aren't getting a horn. That's just going to happen. You get nothing. The entire point
it's
is.
Before.
Yeah, okay. Bump.
All right. Here's my bold take. Geno Smith will complete 80% of his passes
again
and throw for 3 touchdowns instead of 2 this week.
Wow. Back to back-to-back weeks of 80%+ passing, Jamal, he would be either one or two after the second week. Probably one.
Yeah, probably one.
It's really hard to do. That's a bold take. That is a good, good, good bold take. Someone's telling me I'm just, but now people are hating me for not watching Rocky or Creed.
We still love her. We still love her.
No, it's okay. I kind of like the villain role. All right.
It suits you.
Thank you. All right. The Mac and Jack's text line 866-979-3776. Let's figure out what we got going here. From the 503, Rashad Penny and Ken Walker go over 100 yards each. Curtis liked that one. Tell us about the run defense, Bump.
Yeah, the Niners run defense, they're going to load the box, man. They have three linebackers who are really good. They got a young safety from USC who was drafted last year, was banged up a bit. I don't want to ruin his name, Funga or something like that, excuse me, number 29. But their run defense is pretty good. They got a stout box, got Nick Bosa on that line of scrimmage. Both go over a hundo, that's going to be a great feat.
Bold take Friday. Trey Lance throws three picks, and Jimmy G replaces him in the second quarter from Big John in Ballard.
Ooh,
that
man.
One's juicy.
Could you imagine?
That's juicy.
You just see, as soon as you see number 10 warming up, you're like, it's happening. The Jimmy take over. That would be such a wasteful draft pick if that happened.
It is. Well, and this is what I'm thinking of too. What if Trey Lance struggles and Jimmy G comes in and balls out?
Yeah, then it's his team.
Which obviously we don't want to see here in Seattle, but like, how do you then supplant him and be like, okay, we're pitting this young guy out here again when the rest of the roster is like, but we're ready to win now. Just get someone who can get the job done.
Exactly.
For all we know, the roster really likes Trey Lance. We don't know, but
I guarantee there are veterans on this team who would prefer that Jimmy be the quarterback right now.
Yes, I would guarantee. Bet. I would bet that that's the case. It's just fascinating. All right. Bold take. I got a couple more here. Bold take. The Seahawks beat the 49ers 30-3, and the Mariners get in a brawl with the Angels tonight and start a 14-game win streak. I don't know that a 14-game win streak is going to happen again, guys.
Man,
but I like the idea of the Seahawks beating the 49ers. And then the Mariners just getting one more fight for good measure.
Real talk, if there is an opportunity for a 14-game win streak to happen, it is now. They're not playing any team over, 400? I think that's what BG said.
Yes.
Like, now's the time. That'd be great.
Bold take Friday. The L.A. Rams lose to the mighty Chicago Bears. Arizona loses to the crafty Las Vegas Raiders. And your Seattle Seahawks beat the 40-winers, putting the Hawks up on top of the NFC West by two games on every other team from Ty and Polsbo. Oh, wow. Curtis getting generous with the air
horn
this
time. Two-game lead in the NFC West after 2 weeks?
And the rest of the teams in the NFC West remaining with no wins whatsoever. Ooh, I do like that one. All right, let me give my bold take. And now after reading a lot of these bold takes, it's not very bold, is it? But my bold take was Rashad Penny rushes for more than 130 yards.
That's bold.
Thank you.
Against that box, I'm telling you.
Okay, thank you, Curtis. Thank you, Curtis.
I like what the 509 said. We get a Washington sweep. Mariners, Husky, Cougs,
yes,
and Hawks.
Oh, I would love
win
that.
Games this weekend. That'd be awesome.
I say 130. I want you guys to know 4 running backs in all of football in week one had more than that. So Rashad Penny would be a top 5 rusher in week one. And if he got over 160, he'd be leading in rushing for that week, almost
now.
Undoubtedly.
Come on now.
So I'm just saying, 130 is hard, man.
It is hard.
It's hard to do.
He'll have opportunity, though. It's going to be raining. It's going to be wet. You're going to have to run the football. He should get 25 carries at least this weekend.
Curtis, no air horns for Trey Lance, allowing 3 picks? Come on. This person,
well, look, Trey Lance isn't a good quarterback.
Guys, here's the deal. Curtis is disappointed in me and
I'm
Bump regularly.
3 picks, all right?
we're just so used to it.
No, it was a good day.
Okay. But what I need to know, gotta keep doing it. It's hard, guys. I'm on autopilot here. Dan D in the 360, bold take. Seahawks completely shut out the 49ers.
You know what's even bolder?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not. Is that Dan from Issaquah? No, that's Dan D. I was going to say, if this is Dan from Issaquah, I'm
David in Issaquah.
David in Issaquah. He always talks about the old line. All right, Dan D. I'm not mad at that bold take. Seahawks shut out Niners. Possibility. You got a struggling quarterback. It's going to be wet. The thing that keeps me from really believing that is that they have Deebo Samuel, and he just does things that other football players can't do.
From the 206, this will be our last one for right now. Josh Jones in here replacing Jamal Adams as a regular starter, right? I mean, gosh, that's a tall order. Josh Jones also almost retired.
Yeah.
A very cool story, and now he's going to be a regular starter on the other side of Quandre Diggs here. From the 206, Josh Jones gets not one, but two interceptions against the 49ers. That's a good, I like ending with the air horn here. That would equal
the picks that Jamal had all last year.
Yeah, and that was our hype train from yesterday. Is he going to get more or fewer? All right, Seattle Sports has a new name and now a new number, so give us a call or send a text to 866-979-3776. Again, that number is 866-979-3776 for a phone call or a text to the Mac and Jack's text line. So update your contacts to stay connected to the latest on Seattle Sports. It's Bump and Stacey. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. All right, we're going to get to the Mariners with Shannon a bit later. We've still got college football, Washington and Michigan State to talk about. So I do want to jump back to just a little more of a preview for week two before we get into some of that other stuff there. But lots of fun stuff still coming your way. Don't go anywhere.